Those creatures know what that means, what anything means. Wait a minute, something's happening.
Ladies and gentlemen, due to circumstances beyond our control, we are unable to continue the broadcast.
Now here's another bulletin from Washington, D.C.
Martial law prevails throughout. Ladies and gentlemen, I have a grave announcement to make.
So that we may confront this destructive adversary.
Everything wiped out. May be the last broadcast. We'll stay here to the end.
People of Earth, do not attempt to interfere with your radio communication device, for we have assumed total authority. We control your base, and we control your travel. You will relinquish control of your radio device to Mystery Playhouse.
Good evening. I've been waiting for you. I'm Dr. Morgan, your host for the next hour in the Mystery Playhouse. Tonight, we'll hear an original Playhouse production entitled The New Moon Murders. But first, a story about a young man who's dying to get into a fraternity. And I do mean dying. It's the lights out drama, oxychloride.
Ironized Yeast presents Lights Out, Everybody. It is later than you think. Lights Out brings you stories of the supernatural and the supernormal, dramatizing the fantasies and the mysteries of the unknown. We tell you this frankly, so if you wish to avoid the excitement and tension of these imaginative plays, we urge you calmly but sincerely to turn off your radio now.
This is Arch Obler. Someone has said that the two mainsprings which drive the world are hunger and the will to power. I think we'll all agree about the hunger, but as to the will to power, well, sometimes I think it's not quite as strenuous as that. There are some people in this world who don't want to run anything. They just want to be liked. And that's the mainspring of our story tonight, Oxychloride X. But before we begin, Frank Martin.
Folks, it's a sad fact that today a number of Americans are too nervous and tired out, too thin and run down and cranky to make friends or keep them. If that's how it is with you, listen. Maybe you simply need more vitamin B and iron than you're getting from your food. If so, by all means try ironized yeast tablets. They're the amazing little easy-to-take tablets that give you both vitamin B and iron. Thousands of men and women who simply needed more of these substances tell us how quickly ironized yeast has helped them gain glorious new pep and strength, new pounds, new popularity. The name is Ironized Yeast Tablets. Make a note of it now. And now, lights out, everybody.
So I says to him, I says, well, sir, I'd like to be obliging, but I really haven't got the time. And he says to me, he says, well, Mr. Jackson, after all, we're making this proposition. And we do feel that you should be interested in our proposition.
Well, so, what did you say?
Well, I said, mister, I can't be bothered. Just can't be bothered. And I gets in my car and off I goes.
But, Bob, free clothes just for wearing them around the campus.
Listen, Stan, my boy, what I want to be a clothes horse for any old haberdashery. My old pappy's got more money than he knows what to do with. Now, what for, I ask you?
Well, I guess you got something there. Mm. Say, who are you going to take to the dance Saturday night?
Haven't made up my mind.
How about that new number over at the Roto House?
No, thank you, brother.
What's the matter?
Well, did you ever take a look at her feet?
No, sir. Never got below her chin.
Now, hold it.
Yeah?
Ray Stewart to see you, Stan.
Send him on up.
Ray Stewart, who's he?
Well, we're still short one pledge, aren't we?
Oh, yeah, I know, but Ray Stewart, who is he?
Oh, I met him over in chemistry. Got a mind like a textbook.
Oh, but who is he? We can't pledge a man just because he's a grind.
Well, we could use a few grinds around here. Exams come around, there's nothing like a few of those brainy boys to pull us through.
But who is he? Where's he from? Who's his family? Who's his father?
Hold it. Come on in, Ray.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, it was good of you to bother to come over tonight.
It was good of you to ask me.
Oh, not at all. Ray, I want you to meet the president of our house, Bob Jackson. Mr. Jackson, Mr. Stewart.
I'm certainly glad to make your acquaintance. I might as well admit this is the first time I've ever been in a fraternity house.
Really?
Sit down, Ray. Make yourself at home.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Now, tell me, Ray, do you ever go in for any sports back in your prep days?
Oh, no. I never had much time for that sort of thing.
No?
No, I think that sports should be put into their proper place. After all, I'm sure you agree they aren't particularly important.
No? And what, might I ask, is important in your estimation, Mr. Stewart?
Doing things. Being someone.
What?
Doing things man's never done before. Taking the elements and transmuting them into things which never existed until you thought of them. That's important. That's being almost godlike, isn't it?
Mister, how you talk.
Sorry, I get sort of carried away.
Yeah. Well, that's all right. Bob, this boy sure knows his chemistry.
Yeah?
Oh, I really don't know so much.
Say, I ought to know better. You pulled me over some tough spots in this course.
I'm very glad to help you whenever I can. If I lived here, I could help you all the time. I could help you too, Mr. Jackson.
If I need help, I know where to get it.
Oh, I didn't mean to
offend you. It's all right, Stewart. Tell me, you're from around Chicago way, aren't you?
Oh, no, Milwaukee. Lived there for years.
Nah, don't tell me I'm one of those Bruin families.
Oh, no. We're not wealthy people at all. My father runs a small business. It isn't much, but we get along.
Oh.
I don't think money's important anyway if a person's ambitious. Do you, Mr. Jackson?
Oh, no, no. What's money?
You fellas may think this funny, but, well, I always thought it's more important what a fella does than what he has. I mean, well, I've always had the feeling that someday, somehow, I'm going to do something really important. Maybe even miraculous.
Well, now, what do you expect to do? Discover the missing link?
Yes, Stuart. What is this miracle you expect to perform?
Well, I don't know exactly. Ever since I've been just a kid, I've been interested in chemistry, and I've had a feeling that someday I'd, well, perform an experiment, mix certain chemicals together, and something would happen that never happened before.
Now you hear that, Stan? A miracle man.
Amazing, my dear Bob. Simply amazing.
I know it sounds silly, but things I dream about always seem to work out.
Well, would you mind telling us the last miracle that worked out?
Well, this.
This? Well, what do you mean?
Well, as long as I can remember, I've always wanted to belong to a fraternity, and here I am. I mean, you invited me.
Just a minute there, fellow. Mr. Stewart, it's been awfully nice of you to come over and visit with us, and someday we'll have you back again. But now we've got some studying to do, so if you don't mind...
Oh, no, not at all. It was nice of you to invite me over. Well, good night, fellas.
Good night.
Good night.
Hold the screwy crackpot.
Yeah. Did you see the look in his eye when he was talking about miracles?
Yeah. Well, it'll be a miracle if he ever gets back into this house again, I'll tell you that. What in the world ever made you ask him over here?
Well, I didn't know. How was I to know he's a crackpot?
Pledge him to our fraternity. Pledge him to the booby hatch.
If you please, Mr. Stewart.
Oh, yes, Professor?
Mr. Stewart, might I ask if you're anxious to sever your relationship with this university?
No, sir.
Then might I ask why in creation you persist in ignoring my warnings? In this laboratory, you're to perform the experiments given you to perform. Understand? Given you to perform.
Yes, sir.
Then might I ask why you persist in your, shall I call it, original experiments? Perhaps it's your intention to blow up the university. Or just the laboratory.
I'm sorry.
You'll be more than sorry if I find you doing this sort of thing again. Now, take down this apparatus and continue with the work in your textbook.
Yes, sir.
This is my last warning, so bear it in mind.
Oh, hello, Stewart. How about loaning me your notebook for a few hours?
Oh, hello, Jackson. You haven't been to lab much, have you?
Well, no, I haven't, but I can make it up. We've been pretty busy over to the house. Initiations and all that sort of thing.
Yeah. Jackson.
Yeah?
You never invited me back. I thought maybe you forgot.
Oh, well, you know how those things are.
I wrote my mother that I was joining your fraternity.
Well, that was a sap thing to do.
Was it?
Well, we hadn't pledged you. Stan simply invited you over so I could talk to you.
But you said you wanted me to come back.
Oh, now, look here, fella. Don't be stupid about this. We didn't pledge you, so that's that.
And you're not going to pledge me?
Certainly not.
But why?
I don't have to tell you why.
But you've got to tell me.
Oh, quit pawing me, will you? All right, you're asking for it, so here it is. We didn't pledge you because we think you're a crackpot.
A what?
A crackpot. You talk about miracles. You spend every minute of your time here in the lab monkeying around with things you don't know anything about, getting yourself in all kinds of trouble. Yeah, and you look like a first-class screwball.
But I'm just trying
to
make...
I don't care whatever it is you're trying. It isn't normal. I'll bet you never had a glass of beer in your life. And if a girl ever looked at you, you'd fall over in a faint.
Then you're not going to pledge me? You're not
going not going to pledge you. So if your mom expects you to be in a fraternity, you better start cooking up one of those miracles, fella. A first-class miracle.
Sleep. It's so late. Sleep. I've got to sleep.
Not gonna pledge you.
That's what he said. Not gonna pledge me. Why do I keep thinking about it? If I could only sleep. Sleep.
We think you're a crackpot.
Oh, I've got to stop thinking about these things. It's not healthy to think what I'm thinking. Crackpot.
Not gonna pledge you.
Crackpot. What's the matter with my head?
Not gonna pledge you. Crackpot.
I hear them talking in it over and over and over again.
Crackpot.
I'm not crazy. I'm not. I'm as good as you are. I'm as good as both of you put together. Stop saying that. Stop saying it. I'll show you. I'll show you both. I'm better than you are. I'm better than anybody. I'll show you. Julia, talk about miracles. I'll give you miracles. The lab. I've got to get into it. I'll give you miracles. Dark in there. I've got to get in. Oh, blasted door. Got to get in. Window. I'll show you. So dark in here. Got to find a lab table. Got to make a miracle.
Who's there? Who's there, I say?
Watchman.
Come on now, who's there? Talk up.
You don't have to get so excited. I'm a student.
Student, eh? Let's have a look at you.
That flashlight, you're blinding me.
I've got to see who you are, don't I? Yeah, I know you. Seen you on the campus.
I told you I'm a student.
Well, I don't give you no right to be here after hours. How'd you get in here? Oh, broke a window now, did you? Huh?
I didn't break the window.
But I heard the glass.
So did I, and I followed the man in here.
Man, what are you talking about?
Give me your flashlight and I'll show you.
All right. Here.
Look behind you.
Well,
no one will stop me. No one. Miracle. I've got to make one. Got to. NCC barium. 5 cc selenium oxychloride. Oh, good. You're working out just as I planned.
Who's there? Who's that working there?
Professor.
Oh. Oh, it's you, Stuart. And after all my warnings.
You're just in time, Professor.
Yes, just in time to have you thrown out of the university. What are you doing there? What is this mess of equipment?
It's my miracle.
Miracle? What are you talking about?
My miracle.
Are you insane? Take it apart, all of it, at once.
Listen to it bubbling. A beautiful sound, isn't it, Professor?
Take it apart, I tell you. Empty out the retort.
No, I've got to wait.
Are you mad? Turn out the burners. All right, I'll turn them off for you.
No, stay where you are.
Stuart. Put down that acid.
I'll smash the bottle on your head if you touch anything on that table.
No, don't throw it. Put the bottle of acid down, Stuart. Please.
My experiment. My miracle. Bubbling and boiling and stewing. It will work, Professor. It's got to work.
But what is it?
I told them I'd create something that no other man has. I told them. And I will, Professor. You hear me? I will.
But what?
A solvent. A solvent more powerful than anything the world has ever known.
What do you mean? What are you talking about?
Listen to it bubble.
You said solvent. Explain yourself.
Yes, a solvent. Solvent that will dissolve steel like a hot flame.
What do you say?
You heard me say it. A solvent that will dissolve steel faster than a razor cutting through paper. Do you know what that means?
Well,
run a line of this liquid across a steel girder, and the girder will crumple like a falling tree. Pour some of my solvent into a glass shell and bomb the cities. I tell you, it'll make war too horrible for men to endure.
You crazy boy, you. You know what you're talking about?
I'm talking about that. That liquid there. Listen to it sing.
Why, no such solvent exists. Selenium oxychloride, perhaps, but to do the impossible things you talked about would require a quantity so...
Oh, the beaker! It cracked.
Well, do something. That liquid's flying all over my bench, my laboratory.
The stone of the bench. It's eating through the stone.
Well, stop it!
The liquid. It's eating through the stone bench.
No! No, it can't be.
It's eating through the slate of the floor. The hole's getting bigger and bigger.
Run! Run!
Oh, I've done it. I've created something no other man has done. A solvent that dissolves anything. Anything. Anything!
Hey, what happened? What's the matter?
The lamp. I guess it's on fire.
Well, where's the fire? I can't see anything.
The whole school's out here.
Hey, fellas, what's up?
Nobody seems to know. Something's going wrong in the lab. Firemen won't let us in.
Something burning?
I don't know. Can't get near enough to find out.
Well, I can't see any fire.
There's plenty of smoke going.
Plenty of excitement. Read about it tomorrow's paper, I'll bet you. Hey, listen to that sound.
Yeah, it sounds like water.
Gosh, what is it?
Hey, everybody what? Back!
What?
Back!
The building! It's going to crash!
Run! Hey, run!
I did it. I did it. A solvent that dissolves anything. Anything.
Ladies and gentlemen, a deep breath is certainly indicated at this moment in our story of young Ray Stewart and his amazing discovery. And in this intermission, before we go back to further developments in tonight's exciting Lights Out story, I wonder how many of you girls are asking yourselves this question tonight. Listen.
Why is everything all wrong for me? Other girls have jobs and do war work, too, like I do. But other girls get all the dates and all the fun. All I get is thinner and tireder and more jittery and lonely and miserable by the minute. I certainly need something I haven't got.
Well, miss, maybe it's just more vitamin B and iron. If that's it, I suggest you try ironized yeast tablets.
Oh, I've tried tonic after tonic. None I've taken seem to help me.
But ironized yeast is different. It's a two-way tonic. It gives you both vitamin B and iron. That's why it's been of such amazing benefit to thousands who simply needed more of these substances.
Well, I still don't understand.
Well, here's how the experts explain it. When you don't get enough vitamin B out of your food, you may lose your appetite. You may eat so poorly that you lose weight and lose your pep. Or you may not get all the good out of what you do eat. And when you don't get enough iron from your food, you may be weak and pale and feel only half alive. So if you're short on these substances, for your own sake, start taking ironized yeast tablets right away, tonight. Then see if before long you aren't saying,
I feel wonderful now. Everybody says I look like a million, too, since I gained these good pounds. And talk about dates. Everybody's asking me out nowadays. I wish I'd tried ironized yeast ages ago.
And now back to Lights Out.
Hey, Chief, look at this.
Huh? What's the matter, Murph? Somebody have sex doublets?
Get a load of this, Chief. Came in over the news wires. Read it.
Yeah. Additional on Whitmore University. Mysterious cavity on campus growing larger hourly. More followers. Mysterious cavity. Hey, what is this, a dentist advertisement?
Oh, don't you remember, Chief? A couple hours ago, that flash about something eating a hole so big a building fell in it. This is the follow-up. The thing's getting bigger. What do you want to do about it?
Forget it.
What?
Don't you see through a gag when it hits you in the face? Somebody's just having fun on the wires. Ha! Mysterious cavity growing bigger. Well, when it's as big as a hole in your head, that'll be news, Murph. That'll be news.
Anything. It dissolves anything. And I did it. I discovered it. I discovered it.
Yes. Hello. What is it? Yes, this is Dr. Whitmore. Who is this? Who? National News Service. Now, look here, my good man. It's 4 o'clock in the morning, and I'm supposed to be resting. My vacation, you know. What? My university. Building collapsed. But are you sure? Yes, I'll call them long distance at once. No, I can't give you any sort of statement now. Hang up, man. I've got to get the operator. Operator. Give me long distance. Give me... What? Long distance is calling? Well, put them on. Put them on. Hello. Hello. Yes, this is he. Rogers? Yes, Rogers. What? Did? That's impossible. Larger? But how could it grow larger? Chemicals? Are you drunk, man? Insane? It's impossible. Impossible.
But you must do something. Something.
Listen, mister. I'm a fireman, not a magician.
But that hole, it's 20 feet wider than it was 10 minutes ago.
Mister, I don't know what it's all about. No fire and the ground's burning right away.
We have $5 million worth of property on this ground. If that hole
spreads... For Pete's sake, leave me alone, will you? We've been throwing water on the edges of the thing ever since the building fell in, but it don't do no good. It don't do no good.
Gentlemen, listen to this out of tonight's paper. The latest news on the Whitmore University mystery. What at first was treated lightly by all newspapers as either a hoax or a shifting of earth stratum has now developed into an authentic yet unbelievable situation. The hole, which began at the side of the chemical laboratory building, is now 300 feet in diameter and spreading with unbelievable rapidity. Fire departments and fire experts from all neighboring communities within a radius of 100 miles have been called in, but have been helpless to combat the rapidly spreading pit. Many conflicting theories have been propounded as to the cause of the cave-in, but at last reports, nothing definite had been determined.
That's enough, Professor Parker. What about the solvent?
Yes.
Unbelievable, unexplainable as it is. It is apparently self-regenerating and oxidizing anything it comes in contact with so quickly that we see no fire but only the rapidly growing cavity where the earth is being consumed.
But, Professor Parker, what is this solvent? Surely you don't expect us to believe that this student you were telling us about...
I mean exactly that.
Oh, preposterous. It's a fault in the structure of the earth. There is no such thing as a self-regenerating solvent. Simple cave-in, that's all it is.
Yes, I've been thinking all this time.
Gentlemen, gentlemen, if you please. What I know, I know.
Oh, it's preposterous.
Gentlemen, if you please. If my professional reputation is not enough to substantiate what I've said, then at least you'll listen to the boy himself. He's here. Listen to him.
Well, why should we?
Yes, gentlemen, if you'll listen, I'll tell you. You'd better listen to me.
Gentlemen, please.
What Professor Parker said is true. It is a solvent. It dissolves anything it touches quickly, furiously. And the byproducts of that dissolution give it new strength and movement. And I discovered it, gentlemen. I
know, but what will happen? What can we do?
We can wait.
Wait? Wait? How can we wait? Look out there. The hole's within 2 feet of another building already. You've got to stop it at once. If
look,
you don't...
The building! The foundation's under mine!
It's crashing!
Mother in heaven. Harris Hall... caved right in the hole.
Professor Parker, you boy, listen. Which chemicals did you use? We've got to fight it with chemicals. Spread them around the edge. Neutralize the solvent.
Yes, yes, that's it. Chemicals. We'll neutralize the reaction.
No, gentlemen. Listen. You may neutralize the reaction at the edges of the hole, but you forget one thing.
What? What are you talking about?
The solvent is eating downward at many times the rate it's eating outward. You may neutralize the reaction at the edges of the hole, but have you forgotten? It's eaten the hole a quarter of a mile deep already. And it's eating into the earth faster and faster. How are you going to stop that? How are you going to stop that?
Faster, faster and faster at an ever-increasing rate, this strange cancer on the surface is eating away. It is now approximately 14 hours since the phenomenon began, and already it has eaten outward a distance approximately 1 mile in diameter with a resulting damage of over $1.5 million in property.
Truly, the most astounding factor in this catastrophe is the fact that the hole is increasing in depth at an unbelievable rate. At our last reports, approximately 10 minutes ago, the pit had reached a depth of approximately 3 miles, and experts apparently refuse to predict how much further this earth cancer will go. What only a handful of hours ago was a quiet section of the country in which stood the Whitmore University is now a great gaping pit in the surface of the earth out of which rise strange noxious gases as that burning something eats deeper and deeper and deeper into the bowels of the earth. The latest sonic recordings indicate that the shaft has now reached a depth of 11 miles, 2,342 feet. I'm right on the scene and will continue to send reports as...
Sure is a crowd here.
Yeah, 500,000, they say.
Yeah, watching and waiting. And for what?
Ain't it ever going to stop, Stan?
Don't ask me. I don't know. It's going deeper and deeper every minute. There ain't no stopping it.
Listen to them. Scared, ain't they? Every one of them.
Well, aren't you?
Yeah, sure. That hole going deeper and deeper into the ground, and nobody can stop it. And what happens when it gets all the way through, nobody knows. Sure, I'm scared. Scared plenty.
Earthquake! Help! Send help! Volcano erupting. City on fire. Martial law declared.
Tidal waves sweeping inland. Nothing can stop it. Nothing. Nothing. Earthquake.
Fire.
Tidal waves.
World coming to an end. Judgment of God. Judgment of God!
From Siberia to Cape Town to San Francisco and around the world again. I tell you, the earth's ripping apart. And I tell you, it's that hole in the ground that's done it. It's affected the rotation of the earth. Unbalanced things.
Yes, and it's biting deeper every minute. What'll happen when it eats through to the other side? The ocean pouring through. We'll die. We'll all die.
Who's to blame? Who's to blame? Who's to blame?
It's that kid who's to blame.
Yeah, we read it in the papers. That crazy college kid.
There he is.
There.
That's him. That's him.
Who's to blame?
No, let me go, you fools, you. I've done a great thing, a wonderful thing. Created something no one ever thought of. No, let me down. Let me down. Let me down, you fools. I started this album, but I didn't know this would happen. You can't blame me for a miracle.
Throw him in the hole.
No.
Yes, throw him in the hole. He made it.
No, don't throw me down in here. There's no bottom to it. No, no.
Here. Here, put him down here on the grass.
Dan?
Yes. Boy, oh boy, will this be a sensation on the campus.
But... Watchman, how did it happen?
Well, me, I'm making my rounds of the grounds as usual, and all at once in the moonlight, I see this fellow walking across the grass. So I go up to him, and I see the fellow's walking in his sleep.
In his sleep?
Yeah. And just when I starts to grab him, easy-like, he pulls loose, yells something about, "Don't throw me in, don't throw me in." And then he runs across the campus and dives headfirst down into the swimming pool. And it's empty. When I pull him out, he's like he is now. Busted neck.
Well, who
is he? Anyone recognize him?
Yeah. Yeah, I know him. Stewart's his name. Ray Stewart. Kind of a screwy little crackpot. Always talking about creating miracles with chemicals. I wonder what he thought was happening to him diving down that hole.
Well, Mr. Obler, I suppose all I can say is holy...
We've had quite enough holes tonight. Supposing we talk about haunted houses.
Yeah. Whose haunted houses and where?
Well, it's the most famous haunted house in the world. In fact, in the good psychic circles, it's supposed to be the haunted house where all the ghosts go. I'll tell you about that, Frank, as soon as you've talked to our audience.
Well, I just want to remind you folks that if you're nervous and tired, underweight and under par... And if, like so many Americans these days, you only need more vitamin B and iron, then don't wait. Do try ironized yeast tablets right away. They give you both vitamin B and iron. They cost but a few pennies a day, and you don't risk even those few pennies. For ironized yeast tablets are sold on this money-back basis. If you don't quickly begin to eat and sleep better, to gain new pounds, to feel much stronger and peppier. And if you're not convinced that ironized yeast has been of real help, the cost of the first bottle will be refunded to you in full by Ironized Yeast, Box IY, Rahway, New Jersey. But remember, there's only one ironized yeast. You'll know it by the big letters IY on the package and on each tablet. And now then, what about the haunted house, Mr. Obler?
Well, it's a rectory about 60 miles from London, just within the Essex border. Ghostly figures of headless coachmen appear in the lawn, and the ghostly figure of a nun walks through the rooms. An old-fashioned coach driven by two headless men gallops across the lawn. No, I'm not more than normally crazy. Fact is, for 10 years, these phenomena have been investigated by various thoroughly reliable and well-intentioned gentlemen, but they say the headless horsemen still ride, and the woman still walks through the woods at the back of the house. Well, for next week, I've written a play about that. particular house, it's a nice, fresh ghost story. Its title is They Met at Dorset, and it concerns the attempt on the part of one hideous Himmler, head of the German Gestapo, to rescue England's unwilling house guest, Herr Rudolf Hess. Yes, I really think you're going to enjoy They Met at Dorset, but as usual, that's next week.
Lights Out will come to you again next Tuesday at this same time. Be sure to listen to Arch Obler's amazing story, They Met at Dorset. And if you need more of vitamin B and iron, be sure to try ironized yeast, the one and only ironized yeast, with the big letters IY on the package and on each tablet.
Well, that boy was rather ingenious, wasn't he? Too bad he had to fall in with the wrong crowd. But now, for our second story. Have you ever been driving alone at night and felt that you weren't alone? Then you'll enjoy the New Moon Murders, which will begin right after this. The automobile. It's one of the 20th century's most popular conveniences. It allows mankind the opportunity to go practically anywhere, anytime. But more people die in their cars than anywhere else. And not all those deaths are accidents. By the way, if you're in a car now, you may want to pull over for the New Moon Murders.
What Nancy, my best friend, had to say about the New Moon Murders. Someone or something was killing people in their cars for no apparent motive. The press soon dubbed the grisly killings the New Moon Murders, since they always occurred during a new moon. That is when the moon is out, but it's not reflecting any light. Legend always had it that the full moon was supposed to be the most dangerous, but it seemed more menacing to me to have a murderer roaming around in the pitch dark. Lake City isn't a large town, and there's very few lights on the road, especially out beyond the city limits where all the bodies are found. And the most disturbing part is that the police have no leads, not only on the killer, but the method. The cars show no sign of being forced off the road by another, and half the time the doors are still locked. That's why Nancy said not to trust anyone. She claimed whoever it was must be someone nobody would suspect, like an old lady with a flat or a kid hitchhiking. It sounded as possible as anything else, but I still couldn't believe people would risk stopping for anyone during a new moon. Yet sure enough, every 30 days another rash of victims would be found, killed in a variety of different ways. I won't get into that part. I couldn't believe this was happening in Lake City. It would be crazy enough for New York or someplace like that, but Lake City? Everyone knew everyone else here, at least their face or common friends or something. It had to be a stranger, some maniac from out of town. But I wish I'd never said that in front of Nancy, because as soon as I did, she started saying it was this new guy who seemed to like me. She was just jealous, probably. Though I have to admit he was a stranger and sometimes seemed to follow us.
I wish a waiter would trip or something, because this is really boring. Why are we wasting our Friday night here? We could go to Daryl's. I heard there was going to be a party there, and we wouldn't have to buy our refreshments.
No, thank you. You know how I like Daryl. I'd pay not to go.
So what do? Stick around here all night? No one lets anyone ever comes here. It's too boring. Why are we here anyway? I can't believe I let you talk me into this. Let's go.
Let me order one more thing.
You're stalling. You're hoping that weirdo will turn up, don't you? That's why we're here. Because it's a quiet, intimate place, good for talking or getting to know someone, hmm?
Don't be stupid. I came here to get away from that guy. Like you said, he wouldn't come here. It's too boring.
So you admit he's following you? Before you said it was a coincidence that he kept appearing everywhere you went. Watching you, planning, plotting.
Will you stop it, will you? You know, you can be such a pain in the neck sometimes.
I'm a pain in the neck? You should have asked his victims what he felt like. If only they were still alive.
You are sick, you know that? It wouldn't surprise me if you were the killer. You have just the right sort of deranged mind.
Joke what you will. Perhaps you'll die laughing. The new moon is just a few nights away, and you know who will want his 140 pounds of flesh.
I don't weigh 140 pounds anymore, thank you. And next time, maybe you could say that a little louder. There's some people over there in the corner who didn't quite catch it.
What are you looking at? Is it him again?
Don't turn around.
It is him. I knew it.
I told you not to turn around. You're always so obvious. I think he's coming over here.
Probably wants to check your hand for the pentagram.
Be quiet. He's right behind you.
Oh, he is he? I'm not afraid. Not in public.
Shh.
Well, well, well. If it isn't our friend, what's his name? Fancy meeting you here.
I'm sorry. I don't know you two by name, but I've seen you around.
I'll say you have. Allow me to save you some time. I'm Anne Frank, and this is Eleanor Roosevelt. What did you say your name was?
Eleanor Roosevelt? I bet you get some teasing about that name, even though I like it.
Oh, no. No one ever teases Eleanor. She holds the golden gloves in women's boxing. Once a football player jibed her, and she busted his nose. What was your full name again?
Goodness, I didn't even know there was a women's boxing league. It must be some sort of a local tradition, huh?
You mean they don't have women's boxing where you come from? You must be from,
I'm from here originally. I've been off in boarding school, though, and I've just completed my first year at the military academy.
Oh, the military academy. How exciting. Is that where they teach you to kill?
Nancy.
I thought your name was Anne.
I wasn't being completely frank. You see, Nancy is my nickname.
No, it isn't. Her name is Nancy Williams.
Then why did you... Never mind. I guess one can't be too careful these days with the New Moon murderers and all.
New Moon murders? What made you bring up a disgusting thing like that?
I'm sorry. I figured that's what everyone was worried about.
I wasn't worried about it, not until you brought it up. How about Eleanor? Were you worried about it?
My name is Pamela Dern. What's yours?
I'm Wayne Wagoner.
It's nice to meet you.
How do you spell that name?
Excuse my obnoxious friend. I think she's been drinking.
So I have. And I think I've had too much because now I'm feeling sick. We were just about to leave. Nice meeting you, though. I'm sure we'll see you again. Come along, Eleanor.
Nice meeting you, too.
Well, are you proud of yourself?
Proud to be alive? Yes. Before I was kind of joking, but now I really do think he's the killer. I think we should contact the police.
Oh, come on.
You come on. You don't believe that story about the military academy, do you? His hair is too long for that.
That doesn't prove anything. He could have been out for a while. Summer break could have started a lot sooner for them.
Or maybe he got kicked out earlier for trying to kill someone during drill. Now that I could believe.
Let's not talk about it. You really embarrassed me back there.
Did you see how he started in on the murder subject right from the start? He wasn't standing there a full minute and blam! I guess that's his way of boasting.
Nancy, I'm not kidding. That was not funny what you pulled. I should stop and make you walk the rest of the way.
Ha! That's a good one. It's my car.
Correction, your dad's car.
My dad gave it to me to drive.
Until you lost your license.
I can get anyone I please to drive for me. You're not the only one with a license that needs wheels, you know. Besides, I can still sneak a spin whenever I want.
Not if your dad finds out.
Is that a threat?
Only if you try to drive while your license is suspended. Then he won't even let me drive you. You know, he just wants an excuse to go back on his deal with all this murder business going on.
No car, no homework. And it's my senior year. He won't take it back. If I don't graduate, my mom will murder him.
You think you can manipulate everyone, don't you? Sometimes I wonder why I put up with you.
It's a matter of survival. Before, I just offered you my wheels. Now your life is at stake. Without me, you're nothing more than dead meat. I can't believe you sometimes. Oh, our real names are Pamela Dern and Nancy Williams. Why didn't you just give them our addresses while you were at it? Why I risk my life on your account is beyond me. He's probably following us right now. I've noticed there's a car behind us that came out from nowhere, like he always seems to.
Nancy, I don't enjoy your morbid humor. Now lay off.
No, really. Why don't you take a turn up here? See if he tries to follow.
Keep it up, Nancy, and I really will make you get out. Your car or not. If nothing else, it will scare him away.
Ha ha ha. Remind me of that joke when we're getting killed. I'll need a good laugh then. Or should I say now? It looks like it's about to happen any second. He's almost on us.
Be quiet.
I'm serious. Look at him. He's gaining.
I'm not going to listen to you.
I can't believe you'd surrender our lives so easily, just to spite me.
Well?
Well, what?
He turned off. So much for your theory.
What theory? I deal in fact.
He just turned off. That proves it wasn't him.
All it proves is that he's going to wait a couple more nights until the new moon. He just wanted to get close enough to read our license plate, which, by the way, you let him do rather easily.
Why didn't you say something?
What good would it have done? You said you weren't going to listen to me anymore. You'd let him in the car if I said not to.
Well, great. I could have sped up or something. Not that I believe it was him, but it could have been someone else trying to read the plate. He did speed up a lot, considering the turn was so close.
Maybe next time you'll listen to me more. If there is a next time.
I'll be glad when we get home. Well, we made it home all right. But as odd as it may sound, we did go out the next night. Actually, it wasn't that odd. With the exception of that Wayne fellow, Nancy and I normally get along great. It's just her sadistic humor that takes some getting used to. I just wish she'd stay off the murder jokes. She seemed obsessed with that theme. Attempted fate, as far as I'm concerned. But maybe that was just her way of dealing with fear. Some people pretend to laugh at what they're afraid of. Or else she was trying to scare me away from other potential friends like Wayne. But if that was her plan, it wasn't working, because now I felt compelled to apologize to him the next time we met. But we didn't meet again, at least not for several days. Then again, I didn't see Nancy much during the week either. I had a summer job at the nursing home and was going to let her call me first. She came by on Thursday to make sure I was still alive, because the night before, another victim had been slaughtered.
I heard. Naturally, I assumed it was you. But it looks like he lucked out. Maybe he's forgotten you.
I don't believe you sometimes.
It's true. You hear about it on the radio and read in the papers. Wait and see. They discovered the body this morning on Jackson Road. Still inside the car. Still behind the wheel. No forced entry. No signs of being forced off the road. Not even any skid marks. But there sure were plenty of marks on the body. This time, it was an ice pick.
Oh, spare me the gory details. How do you always know them anyway?
A little bird told me. Or was it a vulture?
Aren't you serious about anything?
I'm serious about calling the police on your boyfriend.
Wayne is not my boyfriend. I haven't seen him since you did.
He's been busy with other gals. He goes through relationships pretty fast, especially dead end ones. Seriously, doesn't it strike you as odd that we never see this Wayne character before? And then when we do, all these murders occur every 30 days?
He said himself he's been away at military academy.
Even so, why haven't we seen him last summer? Or the summer before that? Or in any of the school meets? Lake City isn't that large, you know.
Well, it's big enough not to remember every boy you see as they grow up. We probably did see Wayne, but we didn't notice him before.
Ah, but he sure noticed you. Yes, ma'am, and the way he follows you is probably the way he follows all his future victims, until they let down their defenses and start to trust him. Then, once he knows their schedules, when and where they drive, he arranges to have a convenient flat just before they come along. They see innocent-looking Wayne and think, hey, there's my good friend Wayne, alone in the dark with the new moon murder on the loose. I better stop and help him. So they pull over and whack, ice pick through the forehead, or meat cleaver, or axe, or whatever the latest weapon is.
You just continue on with your raving and don't mind me. I've got to get back to work.
What about tonight?
Are you kidding? It's a new moon. You were just saying.
So, we won't stay out late.
Doesn't your dad even discourage you?
Yeah, I think that's why I do it.
Well, I think I'm staying home.
I knew it. You're afraid it's Wayne, too. If we agree for once, why don't we call the police?
I didn't say it was Wayne. I'm just tired right now. Call me tomorrow. Maybe I want to do something for the weekend. I know. It was stupid to respond to peer pressure. But when all your friends pretend they aren't afraid to go out in spite of the danger, sometimes it takes more courage to admit you are. At least we went to a house party, though. We didn't actually know the host, but some of our other friends would be there. And I figured there would be safety in numbers. But I couldn't have been more wrong.
I suppose you arranged for this all along.
Arranged for what?
Don't act so innocent. I know you see him. He stands out like a sore thumb. He's the oldest one here.
You're right. I wonder who invited him here.
Oh, that's good. That's really good. Well, you can play your game with someone else, because I am sick of it. If you want to commit suicide, take someone else with you. I'm getting another chauffeur to drive my car.
Chauffeur? Is that what I am to you? Well, fine. You get another chauffeur. And get another friend while you're at it. Shh. Something the matter?
You.
You can call me Wayne.
You can call me Absent. I'm going to go talk to some of my friends.
How did you know to come here?
Well, I was invited. I knew Kevin Robinson in grade school. We kept up for years. He's one of the few guys in this town who's friendly to me.
Yeah, I guess it's pretty hard coming and going like you do, being a stranger in your own hometown. Especially when everyone's so suspicious of strangers like now. Oh, by the way, I wanted to apologize for my friend's behavior. Or should I say ex-friend? She's a real idiot.
Well, when I saw you two talking, I never would have approached if I thought it was about me.
No, you were just one of many things. She's really grown on my nerves. She kept suggesting that you were the new moon murderer.
Me? Wayne Hill? The new moon murderer? Now that is idiotic.
What did you just say?
I said it was idiotic. I mean, I'm just as scared as everybody else.
No, I mean your last name. What did you say it was again?
Hill.
The other night you said it was Wagner.
Oh, yeah. Well, Wagner is my legal name. They call me that at the academy. Hill is my stepfather's name. I kind of adopted when my mother remarried. That's what I went by when I was growing up. It's the only name anyone here knows me by. It's all kind of confusing, actually.
Well, interesting. I mean, it's sad your dad died and all.
Not really. He was a real bastard. I don't want to talk about that, though, especially with all these people here. Let's talk about you. Why don't we go outside? It's kind of hot in here.
Well, what about our drinks?
Well, just take them. We'll be right back. What do you do in Lake City for fun?
Well, not much, really. It will be my last year in high school, and then...
You're in high school?
Yeah. You thought I had graduated?
Sure, you look at least 20. I mean, I know most women like to be told they look younger, but you look so mature.
Actually, I wish I were 20. Then I would already be out of this town. It's not so bad, really. There's just not much to do. I have to work at the nursing home during vacation so I can afford college. Hopefully a college in a big city.
How old are you?
18.
Wow. You look just like one of those models.
You really think so? I can't stand these clothes. They never seem to look anything like what they wear in magazines.
You'd dress up whatever you were in. I think you look smashing.
Gee, thanks. Not that I agree, but thanks anyhow.
You're just being modest. You're gorgeous and you know it. I noticed it the moment I laid my eyes on you. You really stand out from the crowd.
So do you.
Me?
Yeah. There's something very different about you. Something mysterious.
Well, that's the first time I've ever heard about it. I've been called a lot of things lately, but not mysterious.
I can't put my finger on it, but it's there.
I'll take it as a compliment.
Anyway. Hey, look at that car.
You like it?
Sure. I wonder whose it is.
You want to go for a spin in it?
This car is yours?
Sure. In the military, you don't pay to go to school. They pay you. And everything else is provided for. So a car is about the only thing you can spend your money on. Here, hop in.
Wait. I don't know about this. It's pretty late.
Oh, for Pete's sake. Don't tell me you're starting to believe your friend. Do I look like a killer?
No, I didn't mean that.
Well, then what do you mean?
Well, it is a new moon and all. We both could become his victims.
You're going to be safe with me. Besides, he couldn't catch this car. It's the fastest thing around for miles. Come on, I'll show you.
We still have to finish our drinks.
Leave them.
We can't just set them down out here.
Why not? We'll be right back.
But they'll get run over or knocked down. Your friend would get in trouble with his parents.
Okay. You win. I'll dash back and put them inside. You can use the time to find a good station on the radio, but don't go away. I'll be right back. Remember, I'll be right back in a minute.
Oh, how can I forget? No, Pamela, don't be afraid. The odds are 1,000,000 to 1. Find a station and just calm down.
And authorities continue to urge residents to spend the night at home behind locked doors. Under no circumstances are citizens recommended to drive anywhere during the night, especially throughout the remainder of the weekend. Mayor Wilson.
I never was very good at odds. Now there I go again, losing my cool. I am an adult now. I can't just go running off screaming every time someone says boo. Boo!
Ah! Shh! He'll hear you.
Nancy Williams, how could you?
I don't know. Loyalty, I guess. I couldn't just stand by and watch my best friend walk out the door and take off in a car with the new moon murderer without trying to help. Come on, let's get out of here before he gets back.
You get out of here. Wayne is not the new moon murderer. Have you ever considered that you're not the only one to see us leave together? He'd have to be insane to kill me after being seen by all those witnesses.
Pamela, my dear, he is already insane. No normal person goes killing people every new moon. Every full moon, maybe, but not every new moon.
Nancy, you are not going to scare me anymore. I am not leaving this car, and that's final. I happen to trust Wayne.
Final last words. You and a dozen other victims. Just what makes you so blind to this guy? Can't you see what he's doing?
He hasn't done anything.
Wake up! The man follows you everywhere you go.
Unlike you or me, he doesn't crash strangers' parties. He happens to have been invited personally by Kevin Robinson.
Who?
Kevin Robinson.
There is no Kevin Robinson.
Kevin, for your information, is the one holding this party.
Listen, I might not know who's putting on this party, but I know who's putting you on. There is no Kevin Robinson. I would remember a name like that.
You don't give up, do you?
I'm serious. I'll prove it. Let's go inside and ask around.
You go inside. I'm staying here.
That does it. I'm sick and tired of risking my neck for you. Wayne, or whatever his real name is, will be back any second to give you what you deserve, and I'll get to say I told you so. Got a pen?
Why?
I'm going to jot down his license plate so that when they find your body, the authorities will have a lead.
Oh, since you're so smart, why don't you memorize it?
Very well. Shake hands. It was nice knowing you, Pam. Do you have a will?
Goodbye, Nancy.
Goodbye.
Nancy!
Pamela! He doesn't have one. He doesn't have a license plate.
Are you sure?
Sure, I'm sure. He's taken it off so no one can identify him.
No, no, hold on. Obviously, it's a new car and he hasn't gotten one yet.
He'd have a temporary tag.
He just hasn't put it on yet. Here, it's probably in his glove compartment.
Huh? A gun. I told you so.
Let's get out of here.
Finally.
Oh, no, it's him. He's coming.
Quick, hit the deck.
It's too late. I think he saw us.
Stay down and follow me. Come on, and hurry.
My dress will be ruined.
Better dirt than blood. Come on.
Where are we going?
To my car. It's not much farther.
And then where?
We'll worry about that later. Now, where'd I park it? Oh, over this way.
There it is.
Let me find the keys. I knew I shouldn't have locked it.
You didn't. It's unlocked.
Huh? I'll be damned. Well, slip in. Come on, whatever you do, don't...
Slam the door. Sorry.
Tell that to him. He sees us now.
Hey, Pamela, what are you doing? Wait up!
You're flooding it.
Don't tell me how to start my own car.
But he's coming.
What are you doing? Wait for me. I want to talk to you.
Why won't it start?
Come on, turn the ignition without pumping the gas.
Wait up. I want to start. Talk to you.
Try anything.
Oh, wait.
Thank Kevin.
Hey, wait.
Oh, God.
Wait.
Faster.
No.
Can't you go faster?
No, wait.
He's
wait.
Right outside. It's all right to slow down now. I said it's all right to slow down now.
I heard you the first time.
Then why don't you slow down? Little wonder you lost your license so quick.
Did it ever occur to you that he may be in the car behind us?
Oh, come on. We've taken so many turns since we left. It's impossible.
Nothing's impossible for someone who's determined. After all, we are the only ones who know he's the killer. Only ones still living, anyway.
Actually, I was thinking, that gun could have been a service revolver.
Yeah, and fortunately he didn't have it when he was trying to yank out the windows with his bare hands.
Maybe he just really wanted to talk to me.
That does it.
What are you doing?
I'm going to turn around and take you back.
No, 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 maybe you're right. It all seems a little too strange.
If that's your definition for little, I'd hate to see what qualifies as big.
It just doesn't seem possible. We were becoming friends.
Friends, huh? Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to let you call the police. First phone we come to.
Why me?
He's your friend.
Okay, I'll do it. Providing you pull over and let me drive.
Why?
One, you're going too fast, and two, you don't have a license.
Listen, if a cop were to pull us over right now, it would be the luckiest moment in our lives.
How's that?
We're not safe yet. We might have doubled back, and he just ran across us by accident.
What do you mean, might have doubled back? Did we or didn't we?
I don't know.
You don't know?
That's what I said.
What, you mean you're lost?
Yes, in all the danger and risk I put myself in to rescue you, I lost track of where we went.
I knew I should have driven.
Do you know where we are?
Of course I don't.
Well then, it wouldn't have made any difference. Now let's worry about who's behind us.
So your threat to turn around was a bluff. You couldn't have found your way back if you tried.
There's another turn up ahead. I'll take it and see if he follows us.
There. Relax, it passed us.
Yeah, but another one turned on.
Nancy, I think we need to worry about gas. You're on empty again.
That's impossible. I filled it up the other day.
Yeah, right, but you're almost out now. Well, maybe we could pull over and try to flag down the car behind us. They could tell us where we are, or give us some gas or a lift or something.
Are you kidding? That's probably him behind us.
Nancy, we need gas.
Now think this through a second. Who's ever behind us isn't going to help us because they're going to think we're the murderers. And if they don't think we're the murderers, that means they're the murderers.
Nancy, either we pull over and ask for help from them or stop at the next house we pass. I don't want to get stranded.
Okay, fine. Next house. Look for a light.
If we make it to the next house. Look, it's darker than pitch. We should be able to see any lights even if they're a ways off.
Hey, did you see that?
See what?
The car behind us. It just flicked on its high beams and then flicked them down again.
I don't care. I still say we ask them for help.
There. It just did it again. Did you see it?
Yeah. Yeah, I saw it. What does it mean?
It means he's after us.
No, don't start that again. I say we... Oh, God, there he did it again. I'm beginning to get an eerie feeling about this.
I'll speed up and see if he does it, too. Oh, my God. It's him.
Are you just saying that or can you tell?
He's speeding up, too. Can't you see?
It's too hard to tell anything. He's a ways off.
Yeah, but he's gaining. And he flicked his high beams again.
Go faster.
As if I needed to be told.
Nancy, if we ever get out of this alive...
A big if. There he goes again. His high beams. He's gaining.
Go faster. Faster.
I can't go any faster.
Listen, do something. He started to pass us.
I've got the pedal.
Oh, he's ramming us.
Nancy!
He's cutting ahead. Don't let him cut ahead.
He's off the road.
Oh, God, Nancy! Nancy, are you all right?
Yeah, but look, he's pulled overhead and skinning out. It's Wayne. He's got a gun.
Listen, just get a grip on yourself. Start the car back up and put us in reverse.
It won't turn over. I think we're out of gas.
We can make a run for the woods.
Are you crazy? He's almost here. Is your door locked?
Yeah, but what good is it going to do? He's got a gun, Nancy.
Oh, my God, he's coming.
Oh, Nancy.
Get out.
Oh,
get out. Get out.
Stop.
Get out. Get out. Get out.
Help. Help.
Get out. Do you want to die?
My God, who is it?
I don't know who he was, but I know what he was. He was the New Moon murderer.
Is he dead?
Are you kidding? What a mess.
How did you know he was in the back seat?
I saw him hiding in your back seat when you were pulling away. I tried to stop you, but you just kept on driving.
So that's what you were doing.
I lost you once, and when I caught up with you again, you wouldn't pull over when I signaled. I had to stop you.
Wayne, I'm so sorry for what I thought. You saved our lives.
Yeah. But did you have to ram my car? I just ran out of gas anyway.
Starred in order, Lynn Worthington as Pamela Dern, Joanne Gomath as Nancy Williams, and Robert Emmett as Wayne Hill. Written and directed by Kirk Kirsteiner, with music by Angelo Badalamentri. The New Moon Murders was recorded at KZSU Studios in Stanford, California, and is a Mystery Playhouse presentation.
That's what I call a real hair on wheels. In fact, if you don't mind, I think I'll just have a look behind my seat to make sure no one has any ideas. How about you? Any backseat drivers in your neighborhood? I'm Dr. Morgan. Join me next week, if you can.
Mystery Playhouse now returns control of your radio device to you. Until next week.
No.